Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I decree, Lord, that let me speak the oracles of God, utterance, and I pray for the people's ears that we would all hear and that we would look at the scriptural ways to stay built up in a rundown world in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says,
amen.
Praise God. I'm pumped about this, guys. Notice the title, Keys to Staying Built Up in a Rundown World. How many of you have ever been discouraged? Nobody. Okay. Well, try to relate to me. Truth is, we've all been discouraged. And if you're in this world and if you're going to enter ministry, the enemy's going to come at you and try to discourage you. So the Lord has shown me some biblical keys to staying built up in a rundown world. I'm totally excited that you have the outline. And the reason I say that is because there may be things we won't cover because we've only got a half hour. And so you'll have the outline, and I encourage you to take it with you and begin to meditate on it. Pray in the Holy Ghost and let God show you things, because I can guarantee you this, if it wouldn't be for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life, I wouldn't be standing here. And I see this more and more. I've been an intense Christian for over 34 years now, and all through my Christian walk, God, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit early on, and God always encourages me to pray in the Holy Ghost, and we're going to cover it. That's actually point three, but I want to share some things with you that I believe will help you. And I'm going to see if I can run this. Yeah, I can. It's amazing. So this is the introduction. How many of you know this world we live in is a rundown place, right? And if you're not careful, you will allow what's going on, for example, in the political scene or even in the church world to discourage you from keeping your focus on what Jesus has made available to you. There's some scriptures up there. We're not going to go to them all for the sake of time. 1 John 5:19. Says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That word in the Greek means in the lap of the wicked one. The whole system, the Greek word for world is cosmos. One of the definitions is a disordered order. Because of sin, because of the fall, this world's out of kilter. But how many know if you're born again, we're in order? Amen? Amen. Now watch this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Amen? Those are promises. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 speaks of Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world or age, according to the will of God and the Father. One more, Isaiah 43, 19. I love this verse because it says, it's a prophecy by Isaiah, and it's prophesying the new birth. And it says, behold, I will do a new thing. How many times have you heard people say, God is doing a new thing? You know, God did a new thing. It's called the new birth. It's called the new covenant. That's what Isaiah is prophesying of. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. I will make a way in the wilderness. That way is Jesus Christ. And I will make rivers in the desert. The rivers are the Holy Ghost. John 7, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers, plural, of living water. Amen. And I could spend a lot of time on that, but we don't have that kind of time, okay? But that's the ministry that we have. That's what we have available to us in this rundown world. If you're not built up, Ernest J. Gruen, you're run down. Ernest J. Gruen, I think he was in Kansas City. But he's, yeah.
He was our pastor.
Was he? Yeah. I read that in a book and I never forgot that. If you're not built up, you're run down. And a lot of times we get so familiar with run down, we don't even know we're run down. You know, God wants us on fire. God wants us excited. You know, when the Bible talks about becoming like a child, one of the things I know about being a child is, man, I was excited. I thought, what may think, do I want to be an astronaut? Maybe the president? I mean, I didn't have any limits. I was excited about life. But you know, when you go through life and you get hurt and you experience setbacks, there's a tendency to just, you lose, your fire wanes. But how many, I know God renews that. I marvel at how excited I am with the junk I've been through. Amen? And I credit the Holy Spirit. And you're going to see that. I'm going to share some things here. I'm telling you, if you apply these things in a relational way, I guarantee you, you'll stay built up. You'll burn in and not burn out. Whew, yeah. Glory to God. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. So the next one, Andrew says, if you don't stay stirred up, you'll settle to the bottom. Dr. Burns quoted it this morning out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, about stirring yourself up, literally fanning into flame the gift that's been given to you. And let me tell you something, that gift is not laying hands on somebody and making them a pastor or an evangelist. That gift is the Holy Ghost. It's the charisma in Greek, and I could spend a lot of time there. But you know the next verse, you know what it says? You all know it. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we're going to talk about that. You and I can stay built up. Amen. But we have got to cooperate with the tools God has given us. Wow, I can really run this thing. Feeling real pro here. Number one key, know your place. Know your place. Now, before I get into this, the Lord gave me an illustration, a parable, if you will, last week to help illustrate this point. It's important that you know your place. How many know parables can be a good thing? Mark 4:33. With many such parables, Jesus spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But last week, the Lord showed me, he said, who's familiar with American football? Hopefully you should understand this, even if you're not into football. But I have to say American because I learned that overseas, what we call soccer, they call football. Talk about messed up. They even say water. It's water with a D. Where's Brian? I'm kidding. I teased Brian Nutman. I said, you know, he's learning English, so we'll get there. But, you know, the Lord showed me that if you ever seen a quarterback, who knows what the quarterback is? He's the guy on offense that hikes the ball, right? And he has to know his place. And how many of you know we want to succeed at the top level, right? Paul said that he pressed towards the prize of the high calling of God. There's a high calling. We're pressing for the high calling, right? You ever seen a quarterback that can run? And they can get away with that. Man, they're a good runner. They can throw the ball, but they're really good at running. So what they do is they depend on their skills of running. That may work in high school. That may work in college. Now, I love Tim Tebow, and it worked in college, but that is not going to work at the top level. That's not going to work in the NFL. You're going to have to learn to depend on your team, your offensive line. They create a pocket, your receivers to get open. You're going to have to know your place. Sometimes you get hit. It can be intimidating. Sometimes you get sacked. But you've got to learn to discipline yourself and stay in your place. And I see so many people. I see ministers trying to do too much. I'm going to talk about your place. Your number one place is fellowship with Him. Not fellowship with figuring everything out. Fellowship with Him. Laboring in the Word of God and doctrine. Look at this. Don't get so busy working for the Lord that you have little time for the Lord. And that happens so much, and it's so subtle. Your number one calling is to fellowship with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. But notice your calling is to fellowship with Him. 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost be with you all. Communion's koinonia, intimacy. Intimacy. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ because of the love of God the Father does not become real without ongoing communion with the Holy Ghost. And you and I cannot minister if we're not built up. If we're run down, how can I pull you up if I'm down? We need to be built up, and we're going to see that. I'll go quickly here. I love this. The way to kill a man with a vision is to give him two, Andrew Womack. And this may seem like, maybe it seems oversimplistic, but I have discovered that my number one call is to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost and meditating the Word of God. I don't have Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, but I'll give it to you. There was a dispute going on about ministering to the physical ministry, waiting on tables. And they said, it's not right that we should leave the prayer and the ministry of the Word. So we get people full of the Holy Ghost. There's so many messages here to do these jobs. But we will give ourselves, watch this, Acts 6, 4, continually. See, this isn't big in America, but this is big in God's eyes. continually to prayer, that's not what the Greek says. The Greek says the prayer. Definite article, which if I said sit on the chair, it's distinct. It's the chair. If I sit on a chair, that's indefinite. There's no indefinite article in the Greek. He's talking about a prayer that you can give yourself to continually. And it says the prayer and then the ministry of the word. You can't minister out of this. You can fool people out of this. But without the Holy, I tell people all the time, I don't care what I think. I want to know what God knows. And that's the only thing that will change lives. You're not here by accident. This is God. And God's trying to encourage you and I. Now I got to hurry. All right. Look at this one from the Message Bible, Proverbs 4:25. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. There's a lot of them. I'm going to say this on this next point, because I've had people, and I'm thinking of one individual, they always want to meet with me. Let's get together. Let's meet. I told one guy, I said, hey, man, it was a Saturday. I said, let's meet at the church. We'll pray in the Holy Ghost for about an hour, and then we can compare notes. He didn't want to do that. Don't get me wrong. I love bacon. Bacon's godly. As long as it's kosher. Just kidding. No, I'm teasing you. But you know, the only thing that makes a difference is us being in touch with God. Amen? And there's a way to do that. But this is something here. If we would meet with God more than we met with man, when we met with man, they would meet with God. Should be in your outline. That's powerful. As a pulpit minister, whether you're an itinerant minister, whether you're a pastor, your job, my job, is to do a good job in the pulpit. That's your job. Well, you don't really do nothing. You just talk a couple times a week and go out to eat. You need to be laboring in the Word of God and doctrine. You need to be laboring in the prayer. You need to tell your flesh you're not in charge. See, my flesh would love to just sit around and watch Bugs Bunny or not. I'm kidding. But no, seriously, you get addicted to the Holy Ghost. I use this example at church. And I told our church, I said, you all know I love Andrew Womack. He's one of my heroes. I love him. I consider him a mentor. I could go on and on of the good things. But you know, if Andrew called up and said, hey, Chris, I want to hang out, I'd be honored. But I'd rather hang out with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can you hear what I'm trying to say? See, this is why God wants us to be interdependent. But people can become codependent because they're not dependent upon the Holy Spirit. That's what happens to people. I see it. I've seen it in myself. Even in marriage, my wife's not my fulfillment, and I love my wife. I think she loves me. At least that's what she says. But the point of it is, I've learned that she can let me down. I can let her down. But God never lets me down. But I have to use what God has given. Amen. Got to move. Okay, you are called as a minister, not a politician. In fact, your ministry to the body flows out of your ministry to Him, which is relationship with Him. And then there's two verses up there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul said, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Jesus said in John 5, 44, He said, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Point number one, know your place. Look at your neighbor and say, know your place. Next, point number two, stay connected with like-minded ministers. It's all in your notes there. Stay connected with like-minded ministers. Now, with what I just said, we are created to be interdependent, not independent, not codependent, but interdependent. I need other believers, and so do you. And I'm telling you, if you're part of Army, if you're part of Andrew Womack Ministries or Karis Bible College, you are in the right place. I can say that boldly. But it's important that we do not become isolated. Satan seeks to isolate believers, for he accomplishes his greatest deception or deceptive work in isolation. It's right there in your outline. 1 John 1:7. How can I tell if I'm walking in the light? Is there a way? If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, koinonia, and His blood cleanses us from all sin. I haven't got time to go. I thought we were cleansed. You are. But you also have a position and you have a walk. But how you? This is the point I want to make. If I'm walking in fellowship in the light, I'm having fellowship with believers. I was asking the Lord recently about this. In fact, it was Monday. I was driving to Caris, Cincinnati, and I was asking the Lord, I was saying, how do you tell the knowledge that puffs up, 1 Corinthians 8, and the knowledge, the correct knowledge? He said, the knowledge that puffs up leads you away from the body of Christ. The knowledge that God gives and that edifies seeks you to bless the body of Christ. That's the difference. I thought, oh Lord, I can get that. That's simple. And then Hebrews chapter 2 talks about, for both he that sanctifies, Jesus, and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. We need the body of Christ. I'm wanting to get on a message here. You're not the church. I know, bless God, I'm the church. You're the church. My goldfish is the church. We're all the church. Nonsense. The church is the corporate gathering of the body of Christ. If you're born again, you're a temple of the Holy Ghost. We're the church when we come together. Amen or oh me. Working alone has its benefits. Survival is not one of them. Dean Radke. Another Dean Radke quote, a single leaf working alone provides no shade. And this one, are you running alone? 1 Corinthians 9 and Hebrews 12 talks about our walk being like a race. And I learned this in my own life. I started running with a group of guys, 5:30 in the morning. I know, insanity, I get it. 5 miles, 4 times a week. And I had run like 3 miles, 3.4 miles. I had this little course. And I was blown away when I first started running with these guys at how short 5 miles seemed. I said, we're done already? I was thinking that. There was a synergy of being with other people. And the Lord showed me, he said, that's exactly how it is in your Christian walk. You need other believers. Amen. You ever been around somebody that loves the Lord? You start talking and time just flies. Malachi 3:16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and thought upon his name. God's sitting there writing it down, and you're out of time. Okay, key number 2, stay connected with like-minded ministers. Say that. Say, stay connected with like-minded ministers. Amen. Now, this is the one I'll spend a little time on. Okay. Pray. Much in the Holy Ghost. You've got to give time to this, man. Oh, Chris, that's legalism. No, it's not. You're not laboring to earn. You're laboring to enter, Hebrews 4:11. So then let us labor to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I was telling Carrie Pickett earlier, Carrie and Mike, I was saying, you know, you've heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Well, there's the vegetables of the Spirit. Lettuce. You just learned something today. I know, corny joke, I get it. But I don't have time to develop this, but I can show you that the rest is when you enter the Holy Ghost. What is the work? Anybody know? The work, we labor. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than you all, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but it wasn't me, it was the grace of God given to me. He's not talking about physical labor. He's talking about an internal disposition where I'm not worrying, I'm not carrying the care, I don't have the weight of the world on my shoulders. That's the work. And you got to labor to enter that rest to where you receive that, and in your spirit you're at peace. Amen. Pray much in the Holy Ghost. There's Paul's key. Right there it is. 1 Corinthians 14:18 and 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, same book. He said, imitate me, follow me as I follow Christ. And in this chapter, here's Paul's key. You think Paul was effective in ministry? I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. Verse 19, yet in the church, in the public assembly. Now think about that. If we're all the church, why didn't Paul say in myself? Sorry. Spirit of slap, you stay over there. Nobody here. Some people I know, right? Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. By my voice I might also. How was God teaching Paul? Through praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to demonstrate here. I believe the Lord showed me to do this. Because many times we do things and we don't give people a hands-on. I'm a hands-on. I need, show me, give me an idea. Do it. How, not that you have to do things the way I do, but it might help you. And that's my goal. What I do, and this helps me a lot, I will put on, sometimes I'll take my phone out and you just type in on YouTube, praying in tongues. And things will come up, people praying in tongues for 15 minutes, for an hour, 2 hours, and just put it on, I turn it down, and I just pace. And I meditate the word. I'm just listening for that interpretation. I'm just praying, I'm listening, and God will bring things to me. All of a sudden I go, whoa, that is so good. You know, the Holy Ghost is really smart. He's really smart. But see, you can avail yourself. This is why the devil fights this so much. And see, and even among charismatic believers, a lot of people, they don't do it enough. You got to be a fanatic about it. I ain't got time to not shoot straight. You can live in the fire of God. Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16 talks about Jesus baptizing us in the Holy Ghost and fire. The fire's in the Holy Ghost. The excitement's in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. But you've got to cooperate with that power. And how do you do that? How long? I don't know, 15. I shoot for a couple hours a lot of times, sometimes an hour, whatever. But I just make myself. I buffet my body. You know what buffeting your body is not? That's 1 Corinthians 9. Buffeting your body is not rules. Touch not, taste not, handle not. It's making yourself pray in the Holy Ghost to meditate the word. Amen. And after a while, you get addicted to it. My family would be there watching something. I just want to go pray. And now, don't get me wrong. I spend time with my family. I love my family. But I'm telling you, there's something bigger than what this world is showing us. There's something more exciting than the latest sitcom. And it's in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, I've had so many things come against me. And if you're in ministry, I mean, sometimes, if it wouldn't be for the Holy Spirit and availing myself of this, I wouldn't be standing here. I'm more excited now than ever, and I don't get it. Sometimes I hear myself talk, and I'm standing outside and say, dude, you have flipped your lid. Because it ain't me. It's the Holy Spirit. All right, I'm going to really, this is all in your outline. The prayer, Acts 6:4, I mentioned that earlier, Romans 12:11, and Colossians 4:2 from the New American Standard Bible says, devote yourself to prayer. Once again, in the Greek, there's a definite article. It should be the prayer. Devote yourself to the prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That's how the New American Standard says, although I've added the definite article, because that's what the Greek says. And I'm telling you, devote yourself to it. Here's the word. Continue in the King James, devote, it's proskartereo, and this right here, P-R-E-S, active imperative, it's in the present tense. The verb means it's a continuous action. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Active voice, do it, you do it. Subject performs the action. Imperative mood, imperative means it's a commandment, you need it. Cooperate for your benefit. But so many people think, oh no. Listen, if you're not excited, you're not built up. If you're not excited about the things of God, you're not built up. I'm not saying you got to be like me. Be like you. Like Andrew says, I got to tell you when I'm excited. He does. I don't. I don't have that problem. It's just different personalities. But I'm telling you, there's a fire of God in the Holy Ghost if you'll avail yourself of what the Holy Ghost has given you. Now, like I said, I'll put something on. And I'll just pray in the Holy Ghost and meditate. I'll have the Bible open. Certain verses will jump at me. Certain things will just, God will, not right away. A lot of times, it's kind of like charging your phone. It's not glamorous. If I said, hey, come over tonight. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I got two chairs. I got some popcorn. And we are going to watch my phone charge. Yeah, I think I hear my wife calling. Well, you're not married. It's not exciting, but let me tell you something. I mean, sometimes God praying in the Spirit is like any other form of prayer. It's designed to be answered. And Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit, and then I'll pray with the understanding. But we want to pray with our understanding because we think we know so much. That's why the Bible says, if you think you know anything, You don't know it as you ought, 1 Corinthians 8. What does it mean knowing it as you ought? Knowing it as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you for that moment in time. That is good. Glory to God. Now, I'm hurrying. Speaking mysteries, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Paul said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. In other words, you don't understand what you're saying, but you're still communing in your heart. You can do that, and we'll talk about that. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Mysteries is the Greek word. There it is, mysterion, Strong's 3466. But I've spent a lot of time just on this word. Powerful understandings. Mysterion means a person. When you're praying in tongues, you're operating as a person initiated into sacred mysteries. It means to initiate or learn a secret. When you pray in tongues, you are operating with some sacred thing, hidden or secret, which is not naturally known. It says unknown. It should be known. Which is not naturally known to human reason and is only known by the revelation of God. When you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the content, oh, this is good, of that which has not been known before, but which has been revealed to an in-group or restricted constituency. You're praying the knowledge of secrets of the kingdom of heaven that have been given to you. Oh, my word. You're praying God's plan for your life. You're short-circuiting the devil's plan for your life. The devil's plan is to stop God's plan. And he's defeated. That's why he doesn't want you praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, you did it. You said it a little bit. You're good. No. Grab yourself. Tell yourself, I'm going to give time to it. Like Andrew says, just take a whole afternoon and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Meditate the Word. God will speak things to you. Calm down, Chris. I'm trying. This is my passion, guys. It's life-changing. Look at this. This is so good. Look at this next one. You're praying the content of that which has not been known before, but which has been revealed to an in-group or restricted constituency. I said that. You're praying the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven that have been given to you. You're praying, oh, this is good, the secrets confided only to the initiated and not communicated to ordinary mortals. That's what you're saying. Secrets that are not communicated to ordinary mortals. See, and if you don't focus on this, if you don't devote yourself to it, it'll fade. Because when you initially start praying, a lot of times it's drier than cracker juice. You don't feel nothing. But you just keep going. You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You keep yourself in the love of God. Now watch this. Keep yourself in the love of God. I've heard people take that. That's Jude 20 and 21. 21 says, keep yourself in the love of God. I've heard people take that verse two times I've heard this that I know of, and they've pulled it out of context. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? You pray in the Holy Ghost. One translation says, oh, this is good. Stay always in the boundaries of where the love of God can reach and bless you. Stay always in the boundaries of where the love of God can reach and bless you. How? See, we think love is a feeling. Oh, that little fat baby with the bow and arrow. I'm in love. There are feelings that follow it, and it's wonderful. But it's more than a feeling. Look at that next one. You're a hidden purpose, secret will. This is so good. Look at this next one. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, which is praying in other tongues, you're praying the secret counsels which govern God. Oh, my word. In dealing with the righteous, the promises, which are hidden from ungodly and wicked men, but plain to the godly. My, if I don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Seems like I heard that somewhere. Amen? That'll put a shout in a corpse. You're praying the secret purposes relative to the kingdom of God. Vine says it means to initiate into mysteries. In the New Testament, it denotes not the mysterious as with the English word, but that which is outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension can only be made known by divine revelation. It is made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God to those only who are illuminated by His Spirit. Now, I'm not going to go to these verses. I would love to. help me, Lord. There's so much. So much. I'm telling you, each key is a message. But I got to jump. Keep at it. Get yourself. This is why Ramin Parsa, my friend from Iran, he's a prayer partner. And we call up. We don't do this all the time. I mean, different ways, but we used to do this a lot. We'd call up and I'd turn off on. Ramin would be on the other end. I'd put him on speakerphone and we would just walk and pray. You know, you don't have, just, there's all kinds of ways. It's kind of like saving money. You kind of got to fool yourself sometime. You kind of got to, well, pretend that money ain't there. You can, sometimes with praying in the spirit, I've discovered you just got to put, flesh, we're doing this. See, disciplines are not for God. They're for you. I call them flesh steaks. See, when you decide, man, I'm going to give time to this. I don't care what I feel like. Eventually, you become addicted to the things of God. You can't live without it. You're so excited. I just recently watched an interview with an old rock guy that passed away. And he's talking about all this stuff. And I like to listen to how people think and stuff. And I just felt so sorry for him to have all this worldly wisdom and not even know. What does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? I mean, what does it profit? We got it all, people. But it's made real through the Holy Spirit. And what He has given us will help us. So persevere. The Bible says it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. I talked about charging your phone. There's a Chinese proverb that says, a tree that falls makes more noise than a forest that grows. What does that mean? Well, one single tree, or sometimes you see somebody doing something, like Andrew says, people went around him like he was going in reverse. Sometimes an individual tree will make a lot of noise. But how many of you know a forest is big and it's powerful and it just steadily grows? If you persevere at this, who knows where you'll be 10 years down the road? God wants to do things through you and I that are bigger than us. Amen. Even as I talk right now, I'm standing outside. I said, do you hear yourself? But see, it's God talking. I have this treasure. It's in an earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of Him and not of me. And I'm cooperating with that power. I'm saying yes to it. I'm staying in the boundaries of where God's love can reach and bless me. Okay, fly, Chris, fly. How much time? My word. It's like you hit a zone. Engage your imagination. As you're praying in the Spirit, and resist what I call the slack attack. I'll explain that in a minute. Isaiah 26, verse 3, most of you have heard it. It says, God will keep him in perfect peace. The Hebrew says, shalom, shalom, whose mind, or literally yetzer in Hebrew, Y-E-T-S-E-R, and it's better translated imagination, whose imagination is stayed upon him. In other words, you engage your mind. You can't just be in a place where you don't think. You've got to engage your mind. And that's why I say my Bible's open. I'm meditating. Sometimes I'm listening to the Word. Just all different. God leads. But whatever it takes, amen? And I'm meditating. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The Greek says, pull the slack out of your mind. That's what it says. In the Greek, it's a picture of these long oriental gowns that they would wear, and they would drag the ground. And they would pull them up so they wouldn't drag the ground and tie them off with a sash or a belt. And that's what he's saying. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, or of a calm spirit. Be sober and hope to the end, or hope completely upon, this is what the Greek says, for the grace that is being brought unto you at the revealing of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Greek, being brought is in the present continuous tense. It's in the passive voice, which means you and I are receiving it. Yeah. But you got to gird up. Don't just let your mind wander, because then you'll notice you'll stop praying. Amen? These are things that'll shake, rock your world. Glory to God. So, and this is where I want to talk about praise, but praise bursts forth. The Lord gave me Psalm 65:1 out of the Amplified Bible. It said, where it says, to you belongs silence, the submissive wonder of reverence, which bursts forth into praise, and praise is due and fitting to you, O God, in Zion. That's from the Amplified Bible. But when your soul, when you get to that place where you're not running the show on the inside, all of a sudden I'll be laying in bed and I'm like, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And guess what? I'm just loving on Him for who He is. Amen. I'm just in love with Him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We worship God We worship him in spirit and in truth. And I could say a lot about that, and there's a lot of different ways you could look at that, but I believe as you pray in the spirit, then truths. Even confessing the word. I find as I'm praying in the spirit, the Lord showed me this. He said, listen, when you see something in the word, make it yours. Take out your, when your heart is overflowing with a good matter, Psalm 45:1, take your pen out, which is your tongue, and say, that's mine, and confess it over your life. And then go back to praying in the spirit. Amen? See, some of us, our confession is our, what I call our charismatic rosary. You see, it's got to be a revelation. And the Bible says when your heart, Psalm 45:1, it's overflowing, it's indicting in a good matter. And as you're praying in the spirit, all of a sudden you get quiet on the inside, you become still, you know that he's God. And all of a sudden these things come welling up out of here. It's awesome. Glory to God. One more, key number 5, maintain. It should be in there, maintain. I didn't put it in there. But maintain an eternal mindset. Maintain. You guys, we're not living for this vapor of a life. Well, it got quiet there. Okay, listen to the, I wrote this down from the Passion Bible. The Passion Bible, Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it's needful for me to stay here and help you. The word desire in the Greek is the exact same word that's translated lust. That's how much Paul had this thing in perspective. The Passion translation says, Paul says, so here's my dilemma. Each day I live means bearing more fruit in my ministry. Yet I fervently long to be liberated from this body. That would suit me just fine. Now listen, we don't want to go home early. We want to finish our course. Amen? But we got to keep this thing in perspective. Amen? See, and the Holy Ghost will help you with that. Sometimes it seems like, I've heard Andrew on a teaching, and he said, man, it just seemed like there was no way out. The only way out was we was just going to have to die. Okay, got to wrap it up. Thank you. If you don't tell me to stop, I might not. Amen. So let's do this quick. Maintain an eternal mindset. And we can choose to be built up or we can burn out. We can burn in or burn out. The choice is ours. So let's review the keys quick and then I'll be done. Key number 1. Everybody say key number 1. Know your place. Key number 2. Stay connected to like-minded ministers. Key number 3, pray much in the Holy Ghost. Key number 4, engage your imagination and resist the slack attack. And key number 5, maintain an eternal mindset. You are blessed. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you.